following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They call me Murphy, and I'm a service tech at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. It was 9:30 on a Saturday morning, and a Kona Blue Mustang drove in.
I'm due for a tire rotation. Overdue, I'm sure.
Well, better late than never. I poured her a cup of coffee, black.
Hey, can I hop on Wi-Fi?
Sure thing, no charge. She checked her emails and I checked the tires. Pressure was low in one.
Is it bad?
It's below the manufacturer's recommendation. Could affect your fuel economy. I properly inflated the tires, then rotated and aligned them. Did our Quick Lane multi-point inspection, too. Looked good. Took about a half hour, tops. Well, you're all set.
Thanks for fitting me in.
We always do. A Quick Lane tech is always ready to serve.
Get extraordinary service for routine maintenance at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. With a full range of services, great prices on 13 name brand tires, and no appointment necessary. Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you. We're in studio on this Wednesday. It's a bye week for the Huskers, so no Husker lunch. We will be back at Cunningham's for our Husker lunch next week, next Wednesday, with Sean Callahan to look at the Big Ten, start with Illinois, see where the Huskers are, and see if Taylor Martinez will be ready to get back to the starting lineup by that time. If you'd like to join us on the program today, you can give us a buzz at 888-455-ESPN. ESPN, that is the Bruce Furniture fan line, 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can tweet us at ESPN1460-1550, and you can Facebook us at ESPN Superstation. Coming up in our Loper Link, in about 5-6 minutes here, we'll talk with John Mazner, the UNK soccer coach, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. We'll get us going with high school football, and we will, at the end of the program today, talk to Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald, his thoughts on the Huskers. So just because there's no Husker lunch, Randy, we're still going to
Yeah, they're gonna play eventually. Got to get ready for the Big Ten now.
It's a rumor.
Yeah. It's coming.
Also, because I don't want this to slide by, tomorrow Josh Howgie will be on the show, head coach of the Tri-City Storm. But it is Storm Hockey Week. How jacked up are you?
I'm pretty excited. You know, again, the beginning of any new season is the new opportunity. It's a clean sheet of paper, and you have the opportunity to kind of go from there. So, and they got some good. You know, the kid from Omaha, I think, brings a little bit of interest in. You know, he's got a tremendous skill set, and it'll be just kind of interesting to see what they put out there, because I think they're trying to go with a little bit of speed, but they've tried to toughen up in the last couple of years, and I think it's kind of showed out that they haven't been the most physical team the last couple of years, and I think they're trying to make that direction where they're going to play a little bit more physical hockey.
Don't forget to get signed up for our Fantasy Football Challenge as well, brought to you by Fanatics. Luke Hoover will be with us tomorrow on the show and answering all your fantasy football questions. Oh, man. beat my head against the wall. I actually finally won last week, so I'm pretty happy. You can go to ESPNSuperStation.com. The best thing about the Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge is that it's free. You can play every week. It doesn't have to be a season-long. There is a prize for the season-long winner, $200 Super Bowl party from Fanatics. But each week, $25 gift card to the winner and a free large pizza for second, and those are from Fanatics. All you got to do is go to ESPNSuperStation.com and get signed up and pick your player.
And you win a week. If you only win 1 week, you're in the drawing for that Super Bowl party. So even if you join us week 17, you still have a shot at winning the whole grand enchilada.
Good times.
It'd be a nice Super Bowl party. It'd be a lot of fun.
There you go. There you go. That's what he said. I had something.
And by the way, my fantasy football team is apparently doing better than yours. I've been in every single game, both leagues, every single game. And I'm game under 500 in both leagues, but I'm there. I'm there,
and I know
I don't suck, which was nice because in one league last year,
one league I do suck.
I was awful. I was awful.
One league I do suck, and the beauty is now you get an update every week. There has been a evolution where you can take. There's programs out there now, and folks will know about it, and it's great with the baseball game tracker, where. Anybody can, whether it's Kearney Legion or whether it's the Royals, they can put it into this, and it keeps all the stats, and you're keeping them on your iPad instead of the actual book. And then at the end of when you said, okay, game over, it'll actually do a little bit of a story, and it can pick out the points. You know, so-and-so was 3-for-4, so-and-so doubled in the fifth and drove in the go-ahead run. And it's pretty cool. And now I get a recap in story form of one of our leagues every week, and it pointed out that there was only one other person in the league I would have beat this week. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3777.
Dead something last. Yeah. I can't remember what that something
Darned
is.
Darn it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Well, hey. When you sit here and you just brag about when things go right, you know, now you got to pay the piper on the other end. And by the way, the college football picks this week, who did somebody do pretty well with those selections this week?
Jimmy was the best of me and him.
Of you and him, yeah.
Let me ask you about this, because I have known about this, even though this happened before my time. Johnny Rogers is going before the Nebraska Pardons Board. For a full pardon for his gas station robbery. And the story says it's listed on the agenda under favorable applications for full pardon hearings. Rogers says the crime has been hanging over him since his 1971 conviction. He was given 2 years of probation. And this happened in 1970. And there's a story, you can go read about it online. He says, we wanted to do something, and we stole $90 from this gas station attendant, which in 71 is a lot more money. What would that be, $500 today?
Well, it's still a gun in your face is the bad part about this.
And it didn't say, I don't remember how it exactly went down. So I
can't remember if it was exactly that way or not. So.
Because there was three of us, we got $90, that's $30 a piece. How stupid it was. Yes, it was. Here's my question. Does Johnny Rogers deserve a pardon for this?
I don't think it's that uncommon. If you have a pretty clean record for 40 years on what was a relatively, and again, I can't remember if it was an armed robbery or not. So I let me apologize. I think I may have misspoken, because if it's armed robbery, I might have a different vibe on this. But if it was just a simple robbery, 40 years of a pretty clean record, that, you know, that's one of those things you can get expunged from your record. I don't think that's that unusual.
That's going into our next open right next to Jimmy saying, I don't think it was a major sin. And Randy saying, oh, it's just a simple robbery.
If you're basic, general robbery. I mean, armed robbery might be a little bit different. And I'm
sure the
remember.
Gas station attendant thought that was the case.
Well, again, you got three guys in there that would be rather intimidating, even if they weren't, because I have a feeling they weren't the smallest humans on Earth. By the way, here's one of the things that's fascinating about this. This happened. He got charged. He got kind of a suspended sentence. He got probation. Then he won the Heisman. He had this conviction. Then he won the Heisman. Isn't that interesting? Because, Johnny Manziel's being thrown under the bus.
In 1970, who knew about this? It might have been on page 6 of the New York Times.
Different world, isn't it?
But, oh, Yeah, it was
different world.
People were worried about other things. Let's move on to Loper Link here. Our Loper Link brought to you every Wednesday by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank. The UNK and Hastings College women's soccer teams will play at Foster Field tonight at 7 o'clock in two solid programs. Coach John Mazner joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show with Randy Bushcutter. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everything going? Thanks for having me on.
Well, always great to talk a little Loper athletics and a non-conference game thrown in here in the middle of the week. What do you try to get done in a non-conference game? I know you want to win. Is your goal tonight to freshen up your starters, or are you going to try and get some other kids in? What's the plan for today?
No, I think every time we step out on the field, we put our team out there and try and get a result every time we step on the field. So that's not going to be different tonight. We want to out there and have a strong performance at home. We're looking forward to having two home games here tonight and then Sunday against Missouri Southern. So I look to get back on track a little bit. You know, we've been a little bit lucky with a couple calls that could have gone a little different. Our record could be a little different right now. But it's a good group, good group of people. We're working hard, and we're just going to keep working hard and you know, our goal is still the same. We want to do well, whether it's a conference game or not, and obviously try and get into the postseason.
Coach, you kind of hinted at it a little bit. You were playing 17th-ranked Central Missouri really, really tough, down by a goal. You guys kind of felt like you got a goal. And then did that let the air out of the balloon a little bit for you guys? Because then there was three quick goals that the Jennies had on you late. Did that kind of emotionally drain you when you played at Warrensburg?
Well, yeah, it was tough for the girls. We actually, talking with the team yesterday, looking back, you know, we could have won that game, guys, 2-1. They gave them a penalty kick, which, you know, you're always questioning that. And they didn't count one of our goals that definitely crossed my eyes. So if things were a little different, we could have got out of there 2-1 or at least 2-2 tie against, you know, one of the best teams in the nation. You know, yeah, and I think it was tough on them. And that we gave up three goals in 3 minutes. That just doesn't happen right at the end of the game. So, yeah, I think there was a little bit of that and a little disappointment. And at that point, you know, a little we can't let that happen, but it happened.
Talking with John Mazner, UNK soccer coach here on our Loper Link on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, who has been playing some good soccer here for you the last couple of weeks?
You know, I think we're all playing pretty well. We just a great preseason where we were really firing on all cylinders and really well. This regular season, we've been doing a lot of good things. We haven't been getting results, but things could have gone a lot differently with calls here and there. I think as a whole, you know, everyone's playing pretty solid. We all need to step up a little bit and just raise the level a little bit, and we all know that. But you know, we're getting fairly healthy and everyone's contributing. So it's not like it's really staying out right now. We do need some players to kind of step up and score goals and get some results and make some big defensive plays. But I think overall we're pretty solid across the board a little bit and just raise the level.
Coach, just so you know, we're having a little trouble hearing you, so if you can make a couple of steps closer to a window or something, we'd appreciate it. While you do that, let me ask you, you kind of touched on who's playing well for you. Are there some areas, some part of the game that you really feel like you need to make some improvements on that you're just maybe not quite as happy with as you'd like to be?
Yeah, you know, like I said, in the preseason, everything was kind of clicking. We were playing really well. For some reason, we're not doing all the things that we've been doing in preseason as well, but we're still playing well enough to win and get results. We've been a little unlucky. But, no, I mean, I think, you know, across the board, we can improve all over the place. We can have better team shape and better discipline and better organized defensively. And we got to get more people going forward and more willing to take people on and score goals. So, in every area, we can get a little better, and that's what we're working on. Hopefully tonight we have a really good performance. It'll be great for our team if we can have a great performance and get a result tonight.
John, where are you at goalkeeper-wise? You haven't necessarily used the same young lady in each one of your games, kind of 2-1. You've had Caitlin in there. You had Jackie play this last Sunday. What's your strategy with that?
Yeah, see, we brought in two young goalkeepers that have a lot of potential. They just need some time to get used to the college game. We have Caitlin Milkey that returned, and she's been getting most of the minutes. She's, you know, a little bit more experienced and used to how we play and used to the level in the college game. So we're lucky because we have three good goalkeepers, but, you know, they all need to keep working hard and keep coming along.
One thing I was kind of struck at when I saw your results against Central Missouri, you took 11 shots, which is pretty solid, but 9 different players actually shot for you. Is that strategy, or would you prefer to have maybe a few of the better gunners maybe getting more looks at the goal?
Looking at the stats in that game, you know, one of the best teams in the country, we didn't play great, but we didn't play pretty the stats were pretty even. We had plenty of shots, plenty of corners. Everything was fairly even, you know, until right at the end when they scored a couple of goals. But, it's kind of nice when the stats are spread out a little bit and you're getting everyone involved in the attack. That's kind of a good buffer. Becca, Montana Osterman, we need our key players to step up and take people on more and get more out of the game for us in the attacking third.
Finally, Coach, we talked a little bit about playing Hastings tonight. Give me a quick scouting report on Missouri Southern.
On Hastings or Missouri Southern?
On Missouri Southern.
We want to get through tonight. You know, it's so important for us to have a great game. And they're a good team, you know. So we played in spring, and it was and so looking forward to that. Sunday is another conference game, so that's very important for us to do well there. They're always pretty good, and they beat, you know, they're a very good team. And last year, so we know it's going to be a very tough game. All these conference games are, you know, tough game. We have to kind of focus on what we're doing. If we play well and hard, you know, we can play with anyone. We showed that last year. They were ranked great. With the best teams, it's more about, you know, the right energy and the right.
Well, we, Coach Mazner, we've lost you on your cell phone. Apologize for that, but that was kind of wrapping up what we had to say anyway, so we'll let you go and wish you the best of luck tonight. Folks, go out and check them against Hastings College, and then again, Missouri Southern welcoming in on Sunday. UNK soccer coach John Mazner, we apologize for his cell phone where he was not in a good spot, I guess, today. So that's what's going on with the UNK soccer. UNK volleyball, easy winner last night. Coach Squires got to play some of his younger kids, and they defeated York in straight sets to improve to 12-1. They are ranked 6th in the country this week, which is a little bit surprising that Central Missouri was able to leapfrog them, but it doesn't matter in the end. Katie Weber had 12 kills to lead them. They'll play at South Dakota Mines on Friday night. For the football team, they will travel to third-ranked Northwest Missouri State. Randy, I mean, it doesn't do any good, but somebody at the MIAA needs to be kicked right in the damn teeth.
Yeah.
If they do this to UNK next year, I will be there. I will be there. I will say this is wrong. This isn't – I mean, how – nobody else – Alabama – doesn't have to, whoever, pick the crap team, the great team. It doesn't matter who it is. They don't have to play the best 4 teams in the conference in 4 consecutive weeks. They need to be called to task for this.
Yeah, and to start the season with it. You know, if you ended the season with it as you build up, that's one thing. But again, generally you space all that out, and you're right, there is something wrong. And again, you make a schedule usually for like a 2-year run. So next year's schedule hasn't been made yet, at least it hasn't been released to us or anything yet. You'd hope that they'd be able to spread this out a little bit better, because it's just not fair to any program. It isn't just because I bleed blue here. It's just not fair to any program.
Northwest Missouri wouldn't want to play Missouri Western, Washburn, Emporia back-to-back.
No. And again,
I just don't get it.
No, it doesn't make
Nebraska
sense.
Wouldn't want to play Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan, Northwest. Although they kind of do. But it's
Michigan,
it's later in the season. Northwest Missouri State third this week. Sixth-ranked Missouri Western, 5-point game in Kearney last week. 12th-ranked Pittsburgh State. They don't have to play them. Imagine that. Maybe they ought to find a bye week and get them on the schedule. 18th-ranked Washburn opening night, and 24th-ranked Emporia State, which was a ball game in the second half as well. This on one side, you're crying over spilt milk because UNK obviously isn't as good as these football teams are right now. And I believe that they are better than some of the teams that will be playing in the second half of the season. But if you're beat to hell,
how are you going to be successful in the second half of the season? If you go through that, run through the gauntlet, have the injuries, which we saw last year, and knock on wood, it hasn't happened as much this year in terms of the injuries, but the injury to Hill is significant, but at least we're not playing our seventh quarterback like we were about this stage last year.
And again, it happens. Hastings College last year, we talked about it with Coach Harper. First six games, we expected Hastings to be 6-0 last year, but then it was bang, bang, Northwestern of Iowa, Morningside, the tough teams were bang, bang, bang at the end. But at the end.
Yeah, and it's a way different thing. And again, you start the season 0-3, 0-4. The season's got a way different vibe than if you start the season 4-0, 5-0.
Oh.
I mean, and then you got some momentum. You got a little bit of belief in your system. But when you have to play the absolute toughest teams that you can find, you play the toughest teams you can even go out and find to start the season, it just makes it very, very difficult to build that momentum to have success for the rest of the year.
So anyway, I had to blow off a little steam about that. So that's what's going on with football. And the cross-country team has also gotten off to a good start here on our Loper Link. They have the cross-country athlete of the week, Kevin Carter. He won the college division of the Woody Greeno, Nebraska invite. He came in fifth overall, and compared to the university division, he helped UNK beat 5 D1 schools. He's a senior out of Albion, and the men are 7th in the region. The women are 9th in the region right now in cross country. So did I hit everything? Is that everything?
I think we got everything covered. It was nice, by the way. Everybody that suits up for UNK played volleyball last night.
That's our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. They offer all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at CharterWest National Bank. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, and Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald, coming up next.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
They call me Murphy, and I'm a service tech at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. It was 9:30 on a Saturday morning, and a Kona Blue Mustang drove in.
I'm due for a tire rotation.
I poured her coffee, black. She hopped on Wi-Fi, and I got to work. I inflated, rotated, and aligned the tires. Multi-point inspection looked good. Took a half hour, tops.
With a full range of services, great prices on 13 name-brand tires, and no appointment necessary, Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
Hey, Golick, we're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was enjoying one of these new Marie Callender's sausage, egg, and cheese breakfast sandwiches.
Where'd you get that?
And this cheddar biscuit.
So there was just one?
So warm and flaky.
You ate mine, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Luckily, Marie is giving away 1 million sandwiches for free. Just look for a coupon and select Marie Callender's dinners.
No purchase necessary. Offer ends January 7th, 2014. See official rules to win at MarieCallendersMeals.com/1 million. Sponsored by Kinect.
Quick out, 35-40, down the right sideline.
Tremendous impact.
He's at the 15 and the 10. He's at the 5-yard line, touchdown.
Great frequency and a big score with local fans.
Lunges and goes in for the touchdown.
When you advertise on Platte River Radio's huge array of high school sports broadcasts.
High school volleyball is on the air.
If we haven't contacted you yet, give us a nudge. We'd be proud to call your business our sponsor. Send an email to sportsmarketing@espnsuperstation.com or call 308-236-9900.
10-5, touchdown.
Some areas of fog linger early on today. Otherwise, just looking at sunny skies throughout the day with a high of 80 with southeast winds gusting to 15 to 30 by this afternoon. With a clear sky tonight, we'll head back to 58. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 66.
We are the champions, my friends.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. And Wednesdays are Big Burger Nights at the Chicken Coop in Kearney. Every Wednesday, head over to the Chicken Coop in Kearney, and you'll feel like a champion. 7-ounce ground chuck, bacon burger, mushroom burger, even the legendary Totally Jack burger, any burger, every Wednesday night, just $5 at the Chicken Coop in Kearney. Play pool, darts, watch your favorite sports, play some foosball, bring the family, bring your friends. Or just hang out and meet new friends at the Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A in Kearney. Great lunch specials every single day. And Big Burger Night Wednesday nights at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
Bob Jensen joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, as he does every Wednesday. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, after some pretty compelling football last week. Some teams have started district play. Many more will get their first game of the books this week. And, Bob, great to have you on the show. It was great to see you, you know, not up close, but at least see you over in Fullerton last Wednesday.
Yeah. It's always great to be on with you boys, of course. I feel, as I said earlier, just a little bit ashamed I didn't make it up the ivory tower there to say hello the other evening. But that was a very interesting ball game. I think both those teams are pretty good, and I was pretty impressed with Fullerton. I mean, Fullerton played without the Sondrup kid being much of a factor at all in the second half. Had a little hip thing. And hung right in there, but in the end, that big old Shelton line just was a little bit too much, and they played keep away, put the game away.
Bob, I think probably the game around here that people are paying a lot of attention to, Class A, always a great matchup, Kearney, Grand Island, you know, not the luster that this had about 3-4 years ago, but that should be an interesting game played over in GI.
Oh, Bush, you know that. I mean, it's like I always say, you know, if these two schools played marbles, it would be a tremendously electric atmosphere at the marble tournament, okay? they obviously are great rivals. They are program schools that have a lot of respect for each other. We've certainly talked about the two coaching staffs just filled with guys that know how to win football games. And, you know, Grand Island got a little reality check a couple weeks ago there with that Westside loss, but they're good. That is a good football team. And Kearney's a good football team. That's just it does feel like they're close. It does feel like they're close. It was just so weird last week to see them play Millard North with both teams. And, frankly, you know, I don't know how much desperation there is 3 games into the season, but this, you know, you didn't want to lose that one. Kearney did, and now, I think that makes them even more dangerous to Grand Island this week.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, taking a look at this week's games, all of them in our area on Friday. In Class B, Aurora and McCook are showing that maybe they want to be in the top 10. Aurora's been off to a great start, and boy, what a second half they had, and maybe even throwing a little bit of the second quarter. They fall behind to Sydney 12-0, and they win that game 39-12. Now they have to travel out to Scott's Bluff, and that could be the game that kind of seals the deal for their dominance in the West, while McCook goes up the road to Sydney. Two important games for all four of those squads.
Yeah, it is. It is, dude, and that's very well put. I mean, it was strange.
Duh.
Yes.
I'm with him every day, Bob. I'm with him every day. Keep going.
No.
I always like to break his stride.
I'll get to you. Okay? Here's the deal. You're right. 39 points in a row. If you'd have told me they were going to score 39 points in a row, I would not have thought it was after they got behind 12-0. Okay? But that was a very solid performance. Sydney had a terrible time hanging on to the ball, and Sydney came into that game with what most people thought was a much better offensive line than what it's had in the past, but it was not able to do the job against Aurora as that game wore on. And McCook has come back. You know, I saw that McCook-Aurora game opening night, and I've talked about it. It was not great football by either team. Aurora managed to win it. Aurora is running at full speed now, and I suspect that, you know, Scotts Bluff is going to be a really strong test because it always is. But Scotts Bluff right now is also in a bit of a rebuilding phase. They are 3-1, but they're playing an awful lot of underclassmen. And I think that could be a very telling thing on Friday night. I look for McCook to go beat Sydney. I look for Sydney to, you know, do all right the rest of the season, but, you know, playing Aurora and McCook back-to-back, it wouldn't matter how good you are. That's an awfully tall order.
Bob, when I look at C1, one of the matchups this week that gets my interest anyway is Cozad at Chase County. Always tough to play at Chase County, but Cozad's going to bring in just a heck of a football team.
And you're Bush Cutter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all
yeah.
right. Well, here's the deal, Bush. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Imperial's got a tremendous football history out there. Chase County, you know, Imperial was in 4 state championship games. They've had lots of great players. You know, this is supposed to be the year for Cozad. And, you know, I hate to even put it that way because it's proving to be just that. As impressive as beating Adams Central, which is completely restocking this year on opening night, that was impressive. But I'm not so sure that last week wasn't more impressive. Broken Bow, you know, Mike Garner and his guys up at Broken Bow have a good football team. They're going to win a lot of games the rest of the year, and they love beating Cozad, or at least having the chance to beat Cozad. And to get that win on a homecoming night when things can get a little bit goofy was an awful good win for Cozad. I do think that Cozad will beat Chase County. I think that Cozad's got a chance to maybe score some points while they're doing it.
Talking to Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, huskerlandprepreport.com. Always great stuff up on the website, plus the weekly magazine. In C2, I've got Ravenna Centura. Might be the first time in a while that Centura is going to be favored. Jeffrey and the gang are going to head over to Blue Hill with a very impressive win again. I don't know how, and they got Southern Valley, and Southern Valley's 1-2, but has lost to 2 playoff teams. So I want your thoughts on that one, Bob. But we talk about Scott Porter. But he just always, that Blue Hill program, my God, Bob, why don't they get more respect from me, you, everybody? We're right here. Nope. I mean, yeah, okay, we'll rank him 8th. We'll rank him 7th. Yeah. We'll rank him 10th. I don't know how they keep doing it. What, do they had one down year in the last decade, 12 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just it, Coach. Well, you know, some of that might go to Coach Scott Porter. The next interesting thing he says will be his first. But the thing is, the Blue Hill just they are a blue collar bunch. There's nothing very fancy about anything that they do, and all of their success in all this run that they've had has been tied to defense. And, you know, people want to see points and want to see people score, you know, 50, 60 points. Blue Hill doesn't necessarily win that way. They win a lot, but they don't win that way. Maybe that ties into it some. I don't know. But Blue Hill's certainly a very well-respected program. It's earned it again this year, coming off a great win. And now they play a really scary team, Southern Valley. People that follow basketball know that that's the defending C2 state champions, and you can't win a state basketball or track championship without being pretty athletic. And Southern Valley is pretty athletic, and they've got the capability of scoring some points. And I think that they could make things real interesting for Blue Hill. I you know, Blue Hill is going to be favored to win that game, but at the same time, it wouldn't be a huge upset if Southern Valley would win. A name to know. Dylan Brooks down at Southern Valley is an outstanding football player. He's an outstanding player as a linebacker, so sometimes those people don't get known about maybe quite as much. But that's somebody that's going to be on the radio a lot on Friday night.
Looking at the 8-man ranks, Bob, one game that kind of stands out, that just kind of interesting, McCool Junction at Bruning Davenport Chickley. You know, a couple of teams that aren't necessarily household names, but that could be a pretty good matchup.
Well, see, and here we go with McCool Junction. McCool Junction's there is a program that simply is overlooked right now. They haven't made the finals. They haven't. In fact, I think they've only won one playoff game. But they've been good, and they are on an upward arc. Frankly, they lost their best player off of last year's team, a kid by the name of Jack Bailey, who was a 2-time All-Stater. But they've got this kid by the name of Alex Przeliska, which I'm sure I'm butchering. But Alex is an outstanding player. He has been he's been the driving force behind McCool's early success. BDS is a state championship program. They've certainly made their mark again early this season by beating Giltner. And the thing about BDS is here's another program that's got a lot of really good young players. We've talked about them before, but, you know, Grant Norder has turned out to be an awful big deal for BDS. Wyatt Shaneholtz is another senior leader who was a returning all-district player. And it's got the makings of an outstanding game. This is another one of those games where one team is where the other one wants to be. And if McCool wants to get to that next level, the old proverbial next level, winning a game like this one at Bruning would be a huge step in the right direction.
One of the 6 points that Bob makes on the website this week that he does every week is about the D19 district, and we'll look at that one with Arapahoe and Elm Creek being a key matchup. And they're each seeing the best team so far on their early schedule on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, you don't want to discount anybody. They're all out there doing the best they can. But there is no doubt that this is a game that both these teams probably have been pointing to after they got out there and kind of ran around a little bit and realized that they both had a chance to be 3-0. The thing about Arapahoe, you know, again, coming off the great season, the 11 wins, the state semifinals, all of that, they've continued to build on that success. The thing about this game that you know, it surprises me a little bit how quick Elm Creek has recovered from basically losing its entire offensive line. And they have managed to plug in some young players. They've got a freshman and a sophomore starting in the line, and that could be a problem on Friday night because Arapahoe is going to come with a more veteran look than that. But Elm Creek's got some tremendous skill players. Hayden Geis is coming off a 200-yard game. Elm Creek's been scoring a lot of points. I think, to me, they are a little bit ahead of schedule. I mean, Elm Creek's been playing good football for a long time, but I think this team seems like it's a little bit ahead of schedule. I think that it's probably the underdog going against Arapahoe, but it's going to be a great game. And then when you throw Overton into the mix, which has I've recovered after kind of a goofy last month of last season to position itself as one of the top 5-6 teams in D1. You got to throw those all into a hat. You've got a tremendous district. And the point I made was that when it comes to depth, that district to me is the best in Class D1 because you have those three. And Alma, which is another good football team, just a little bit off the radar compared to the other three.
Robert, we didn't discuss a whole lot about last week outside of the Shelton-Fullerton game. Obviously, I want to bring up to all my St. Paul and Farwell friends, Ord 37, St. Paul 6. But was there another game in the state last week or another game this week that you want to touch on?
Well, you know, there's every week there is just a whole bunch of craziness that goes on. But I know we've got a lot of people there in Kearney that are obviously locked into Class A football. And something as a fan that just kind of makes me happy is the fact that Creighton Prep is the real deal. I mean, Creighton Prep, obviously one of the most decorated programs in the state at any level, 9-time state champions, a bazillion all-staters, kids that plays that have played in the pros, been all-Americans at the college level. But they kind of went away from the head table for a little bit, and now they're back. And there's a thing going on down there that you don't see very many Class A schools that can throw it the way that Prep throws it. Easton Stick is the quarterback. He is going to go Division I. It's just a matter of which school he goes to. And then this kid that plays receiver, R.J. Erzendowski, is I saw him down at the Rivals camp down in St. Louis, and he had a tremendous camp down there. And he just oozes confidence. He is a very self-assured player. He had a 97-yard touchdown pass last week against Southeast, and I thought that was worth noting. And the other thing that, you know, when you drop down a class to Class B, There's a huge game this week, Gretna and Crete. Crete, another traditional power that last year just was young and inexperienced and not as athletic as it had been and, you know, stumbled around. I think it won three games. Well, they've already won three. Their only loss is to undefeated Ralston. They get number one Gretna this week. And Gretna is Gretna is doing it with a great senior class. They are minus the best player in the class, one of the best players in the state, Mick Stoltenberg, the future Husker, got knee surgery last week, and he won't play any more high school football. But they've got like seven other kids, guys, that were all district last year, and they're all seniors. And there are very few holes in that team. But playing at Crete is not for the weak of heart. And so it'll be that is definitely a Class B game to keep an eye on.
All right, Robert, well, enjoy. I imagine you're probably going to go to that game.
I think there's a decent chance. I'm not entirely sure. I do know that a game I'm going to go to tomorrow night, Bush, is kind of a unique game. Parkview Christian at Osceola. And these are two teams that I would be willing to bet do it as next paycheck, do not win state. But they both got some good players on them. They're going to win some games. Both of them, I think, might be good enough to win a playoff game. And so that's where I'm going to go. Friday night still up in the air. We'll see what happens.
Well, we got $3.27 on the line, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. Bob, thank you so much for the time, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Yeah, you bet. Always good to visit, boys.
All right, thanks, buddy. Bob.
Our Midtown Mart cooler question of the day. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Which surprising NFL team is the most for real?
Dolphins are on the list, aren't they? That's one of the options, right? Dolphins, yes. Dolphins, Dolphins. There you go.
45% said the Chiefs, 36% said the Bears, 18% said the Dolphins. Midtown Mark Cooler question today. Do you agree with the NCAA reducing the sanction against Penn State football, restoring the 5 scholarships per year? Yes, yes, but more scholarships should have been given back? No.
I think more should have been given back. Again, I don't think it's their job to enforce laws. And the criminal activity that took place there. To me, the NCAA, that is not part of the NCAA's purview.
I agree with you. It's interesting, the national perception is they're tearing apart the NCAA for messing it up in the first place. They're just kind of...
Well, where were they when this happened? Where were just, when they... You know, I hear this from a lot of the national folks.
We said it on the show
two years ago. We did.
Stomping on it. Exactly.
Yeah. But I don't think nationally it was said very much at the time.
Boy,
and
so
I think
terrible.
In the rearview mirror, people look back and said, you know, it wasn't the appropriate thing to do. But we said it kind of at the time that that's not their purview. That's not their job. Their job is to make sure that recruiting is done legally, that you're not illegally paying your players, that sort of thing. And by illegally, I mean according to the NCAA rules, okay? Not the law enforcement. It's not their job to do the job of the Attorney General for the great state of Pennsylvania.
Midtown Mark Cooler question. Vote on at any time at ESPNSuperstation.com. Hey, this Saturday night at the Heartland Events Center, it's the end of the season for the Platte Valley Roller Vixens Roller Derby. We've got some tickets to give away. If you would like a pair of tickets to the Platte Valley Roller Vixens taking on the FOCO Punchy Brewsters. I like it.
That's a good
not
name.
Not Punky.
Yeah, that's
Punchy
a good
Brewsters.
Name. That's a good name.
Saturday night, 7:30 at the Heartland Event Center. If you'd like tickets, call now. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. We'll get you set up. And Dirk Chatlin of the Omaha World Herald when we come back.
He captured our hearts.
There he goes.
Running to midfield. Listen to this crowd. As Jack Hoffman just scored a touchdown.
He took his story national.
And the fans have decided that the SV goes to
Jack Hoffman.
Now it's our turn to give back. The Team Jack Radiothon. All of Nebraska coming together for a great cause. Thursday, September 26th.
You can help Team Jack on the Breeze 94.5 Thursday afternoon, 2 until 6.
Hi, it's the Herd. The best kind of gifts are when they're unexpected. And when you send a gift of beautiful flowers from 1-800-Flowers.com, it's the perfect way to brighten her day. Just because. Just because is a great reason to send flowers. Because you love her. Because she's there for you. Because she let you watch football all weekend. Right now, 1-800-Flowers.com is offering an unexpected gift that she'll love. Bright, cheerful sunflowers. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, or just because. This week only. 1-800-Flowers.com makes it easy for you to make her smile. 10 radiant sunflowers. with a free vase and a box of delicious cookies, all for $24.99. It's an incredible offer, half off the regular price. Take my advice. Surprise her today. 10 beautiful sunflowers, a vase, a box of cookies, only $24.99. You kidding me? Order now. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or download the mobile app. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin, or call 1-800-Flowers.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Some areas of fog linger early on today. Otherwise, just looking at sunny skies throughout the day with a high of 80 with southeast winds gusting to 15 to 30 by this afternoon. With a clear sky tonight, we'll head back to 58. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I will have to say, I give Jeff crap when he plays the same bumper music all the way back.
Well, we went from Queen to this, really?
Well, it's great. I like it. It's okay. Just that right. I don't know that all I've right. heard this for a while. So somebody posted the other day on their social media, and I won't say who it was, for some reason must have ran into a bad 80s station and all the songs they never want to hear again, like Ice Ice Baby and
that'd be one.
There's like five of them up there. I said, we'll use that for the bumper music later this week on the Doug and Daddy Show, just for you. Just for you, Doug and Daddy Show. Hey, farmers, now's the time. Beat the heat. Get ready for 2014 with the best value purchase of a T&L pivot system. The continuation of the drought is always a problem, and why not make sure that you've got the best in your field? Maximize your production with the best water distribution over your crop and the best reliability for the long haul of any extended heat wave. You can call Kyle Stewart of R&K Irrigation in Grand Island today and get T&L's proven hydraulic technology. It works. It's easier on you for a lifetime, and T&L sponsoring Husker Talk anytime we roll it here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter on this Wednesday, and we are pleased to welcome in Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald. Dirk, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Your reference there made me think. A week and a half ago, I was down in Texas, and I went to the Houston Texans game, their home opener. And Vanilla Ice was playing halftime. And he plays Ice Ice Baby at halftime. And, I'm sitting there as 70,000 people are sort of dancing, like they did 20 years ago to this thing, and I'm thinking, how many times has this guy sang this song in his lifetime?
Or at least lip-synced it. And I'm sure our boy Jared Crick was probably trying to get out of the locker room quickly at halftime so he could pick up part of that. Dirk, let me start.
Yeah, I didn't see Crick peeking out from the locker room.
And you would have seen
song,
that.
I think that song came out about the year that Jared Crick was born.
That'd be so about right, yeah.
That lets you know how old we are.
Well, and you'd have seen the big bushy beard even sticking out from under that helmet. But, Dirk, I wanted to have you on to talk about where the Husker program is right now, and we can break down things as you see fit. But we have to start with the World Herald, yourself, Tom Chattel, being brought in and I guess stirring up some old coals from 2 years ago. How have you, how have Tom, I've read the articles, I'm reading what you guys are doing, but is it bygones be bygones, or did it stir up emotions? What was your feeling when you heard that 2 weeks ago?
Well, I mean, it certainly did sort of bring a lot of that stuff back. And, you know, I think I'm not terribly surprised that Bo said those things that night. I mean, I know he was really upset. I mean, that doesn't excuse what he said about the fans, which I have, you know, more concern about that than I do what he said about Tom Chattel and the World Herald. But, you know, I think that the thing that I try to tell people with Bo is my relationship with Bo and the World Herald's relationship with Bo is, you know, there are flare-ups and there are, you know, there's five or six moments every year where, you know, he gets really, really mad at something that we do. And, you know, the other 360 days, he's pretty much cool with it. And, you know, he and I have a good relationship. I mean, we talk off to the side, and I think we have a cordial, you know, professional relationship. And that night hasn't really affected that part, you know. I mean, I still interview him the same way I did 3 years ago and all that, and I think Tom's the same way. So, but yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable last week, you know, having some of that stuff come up again. And, you know, it was kind of like deja vu. So I'm not against moving past it, that's for sure.
I will say this, because one more on this topic, and then we'll move on to this year's team, unless Randy wants to. And I don't mean to belabor the point, but I had a buddy of mine say this week, ask Dirk if he feels vindicated that 2 years ago what you were writing, what you were talking about, has kind of come to fruition.
Well, no, I don't think vindication would be the word. You know, it's been interesting how, you know, I think with almost every season with Bo Pelini, I mean, it just seems like they all kind of play out the same, you know, and it's almost like you're reliving Groundhog Day. And it's, you know, 9-4 and 10-4, I mean, it's kind of the same record every year, but it's also kind of the same problems every year, you know, and the defensive issues right now are really, really hard to get past. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to figure it out. I mean, this has been something that's bothering them for 2 years now, stopping the run especially. And I just don't know how you fix that in the middle of a season, you know, with the same personnel. I mean, they're going to try some things, but they're going to face some pretty good running attacks in the Big Ten, and I think it's going to be hard to fix it. So, you know, the quarterback issue is obviously, I'm going to write about it here and post it in the next half hour, you know, some thoughts on the quarterback issue and, you know, kind of how Martinez went from being a guy who had, you know, everybody kind of considered had a lot of potential, you know, 2-3 years ago, to, you know, now his time is winding down, and he's kind of got a Taylor Martinez of his own in his rearview mirror, and that's Tommy Armstrong. And it's kind of an awkward situation because, you know, as I wrote 2 years ago, Bo's really invested a lot into Taylor, and, you know, I think it would probably take an act of God for Bo to, you know, to make a quarterback change permanently. But, you know, it's kind of creates a tough situation when you've got a backup who everybody's kind of clamoring for, and your starter is somebody who's not only not healthy, but is still kind of, again, making some of the same mistakes that he's made the past 2 or 3 years.
Dirk, you started to touch on this a little bit in relation to the comments that came to light 2 years ago, and that was his comments about the fans. I thought it was very interesting how the fans responded. I think to a great extent, a lot of folks kind of felt, you know, leaving the game early, you know, they kind of understood where Bo came from. I was really kind of surprised at the overall support that I think fans gave Coach Pelini. Your thoughts on what he said and how the fans reacted to it?
Well, I mean, as somebody who grew up in Nebraska and understands the fan culture and the, you know, the tradition of fan support, I mean, I thought it was pretty upsetting. I mean, journalism aside, you know, and my job aside from that, I mean, I think it was, you know, it was pretty upsetting what he said. And I, you know, some of the hypocrisy of it too, you know, kind of the questioning fan loyalty and then in the next sentence saying, you know, I'm going to be out of here at my first opportunity. That didn't strike me as real good either. But, you know, I think especially in the middle of the season, people are trying to make this work. I mean, they're really trying to make it work. And I was surprised, as you were, that public opinion kind of flipped during the course of last week. And people were really, really upset Monday. And then by about Wednesday, you know, everybody was kind of back on board. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, people just really, really want this thing to work out. I mean, they don't want to have to go through, you know, another rebuilding period. They don't want to have to start over. You know, they want Bo Pelini to succeed. And part of having Bo Pelini succeed is kind of putting this issue behind them and, you know, getting back to playing football. So, last week was a really, really interesting study in fan psychology. You know, what people will accept, what they won't accept, you know, what coaches can say and still kind of get away with. I was probably as interested just in the public reaction to it as I was in the actual comments themselves.
Talking with Dirk Chatelain here for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. You know, after watching Zach Zinner and what he did in the first quarter of Saturday's game for South Dakota State, it made me wonder if they really were trying to let Jack Hoffman score in the spring game or if Jack really did that all on his own. I was so intrigued that Coach Pelini, one of the comments that he made was, we're not at some points even lining up right. Dirk, that most of the time I can kind of take whatever coach says and give it to the coaches, and they always say it's on us. If they're not lining up right in the fourth week of the season, there had to be a point where they weren't lining up right in fall ball. Do you think this has been, I mean, that's a huge problem if you're not even lining up in the right spot.
It is. And I, you know, first of all, that's the first time I'd heard that joke about Jack. That's pretty good.
Thanks, buddy.
But I've been covering the program for 10, 11 years, and I don't think I've ever seen coaches, not just the head coach. I mean, Bo's obviously been upset, but just down the line, you know, from head coach to defensive coordinator to defensive line coach, I've never seen the assistants and I've never seen the coaching staff that upset after a game. I mean, they were just ticked off and they were, you know, they were sort of flustered, and not sort of, they were really flustered. And, you know, it's as you said, I mean, it's not just the missed tackles and, you know, South Dakota State doing something that they weren't ready for. It's just the most basic stuff, you know. I mean, it's stuff that you work on the first week of fall camp. And I don't know, man. I don't know how they fix it. I mean, it's, you know, they've been in some tough spots as a defense, you know, the last 6 years, and they've sort of figured out a way sometimes to make it work. And, you know, last year, I mean, they kind of held their own against Big Ten offenses, you know, throughout the season. You know, they, in 2008, they sort of figured it out, you know, in November after a really, really bad first half of the season. You know, it's not unprecedented. And they do have the Big Ten schedule working in their favor, which, you know, they don't really play very many good offenses at all. So I think that gives them hope, or that gives Husker fans hope. But there is something systematically wrong with the defense and the way that it's being coached and executed, because, you know, the guys just clearly don't know how to fix it. And the players don't know they don't know how to fix it, and I don't think the coaches know what buttons to push. And if you've got, you know, if you not only have some talent problems, which I think they do based upon some of their, you know, recruiting efforts, you know, for a couple years there, you know, which is why they're playing so many freshmen. But not only the talent stuff, but also just the fundamental breakdown, you know, that's really, really concerning, because, you know, South Dakota State had a decent offense, but they're going to face more physical ones down the road, especially when you get into November. And, you know, if you play Northwestern 1 week and Michigan the next, and you're not playing well, you're going to get blown out twice.
You know, you look back at last week, and this bad time to bring up the thing about concerns I have with the offense after a record-setting performance against the Jackrabbits last week. But you look back at the UCLA game, Dirk, and again, Nebraska had a pretty good lead. If their offense could have moved the ball a little bit better, we wouldn't have noticed how inept the defense was. I mean, because to me, one of the problems is we knew the defense was probably not going to be the strength of the football team, but I'm not so sure that the offense has lived up to the hype and lived up to what we thought they might be.
Well, there's no doubt. And the UCLA, you know, the second half of UCLA was really discouraging. You know, as we've sort of found out over the last 5 years with Nebraska, that you kind of have to judge them in two different ways. You know, it's how are they playing on the average Saturday against somebody that's not very good, and then how are they playing in big games? Because the answers to those two questions are sometimes very, very different. You know, when they get on a big stage, they really struggle. And it's not just defense, but as you mentioned, it's offense. And, you know, they put up some points, obviously, against Georgia and Wisconsin and Ohio State last year, but they also, you know, they also make a lot of critical mistakes in those big games. And I don't know. I mean, I think some of it had to do with Martinez's health and his, you know, not being able to move around very well. But, you know, I think they're also trying to sort of figure out, you know, we've got all these things, we've got all these weapons, we've got all these things that we can do. And I think sometimes they get caught trying to do everything and they don't really do anything particularly well. And, you know, I think they're trying to whittle it down a little bit, but, you know, Tim Beck has a little bit of a tendency to try to be too versatile, too multiple, especially in those big games, I think.
Dirk Chatelain, we'll wrap it up with this. We always love predictions, Dirk, and the ESPN boys, Schlabaugh and Edwards, have Nebraska going to the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, which is the number five bowl. Tom Dienhart, Big Ten Network, has us going to the Gator Bowl because he has Ohio State going to the BCS Bowl, so that would bump them up. Otherwise, Nebraska would be dropping down. So some of the national pundits have Nebraska the fifth best team in the conference right now. Is that accurate?
Right now, maybe. First of all, if they go to the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, at least we'll get some free wings out of that deal. But, you know, I think Nebraska has a chance to move up. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, the defense, say what you want about how bad they've looked the first 4 weeks, and they have looked really, really bad. But the offense clearly has a lot of things going for it. The defense is really young, and I keep coming back to the schedule thing, guys. I mean, it's just, if they were playing Wisconsin and Ohio State to open the season, to open the Big Ten season like they did the last 2 years, you know, I think you could pretty much stick a fork in these guys and say they're in for big trouble. But they don't have that. They have a really soft October schedule, and I think if they can figure out, you know, how to make some improvements over the next 4 weeks, you know, they might not win the Big Ten. They might not get to Indianapolis. But I think they can still have a 9-3 season or something like that. And that's, you know, that's not going to be a success because, you know, you have bigger goals than that. But I don't think you'll see them in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl if they're able to sort of figure it out a little bit over the next month.
That would mean Gator or Outback or who knows if Nebraska can really get things turned around like we all hope. Dirk, and turned around, they're 3-1. Dirk, we always appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Great stuff, and always enjoy reading your articles. We'll see you at the next Husker game.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks.
Thanks, Dirk.
Dirk Chatelain, Omaha World Herald. Check him out at omaha.com. Always got his bites up there every single day. And as he said, coming up here in about a half hour, he'll have another updated story on the quarterback situation.
And again, it isn't so much the loss to UCLA, but how they lost, you know, and that is what kind of sticks in people's craw a little bit, that they look so bad in that second half. But you know what? Which one's the team? Which one is Nebraska? Are they the first half team that looked pretty good, or are they the second half team that quite the opposite of that?
You know, Randy, a lot of the fans keep bringing up, well, man, we got blown out here, we got blown out there. You know, it's not even a game. It's not even a half. It's 15 to 20 minutes. Yeah. I mean, that UCLA game was the third quarter.
Yeah.
The other three quarters, they outscored them. Game was the Wisconsin game, the second quarter. I mean, you can go back to these blowouts. It was one quarter where it's over. It's just overwhelming.
Well, every time the other team touched the ball, they score a touchdown. It makes it very difficult to stay with it at that point.
Buffalo Wild Wings or Gator? Which one would you rather have? Gator or Wings?
Well,
Gator, come on.
I've eaten Gator, and you know what? Now that I think about it, I've eaten Wings, too.
No.
The Gator Bowl is a little bit more prestigious, so if you want one, that's where you go. Beautiful all-expense-paid trip to Jacksonville.
Did you like my joke?
Yeah. I'm hosting with Shecky Green today.
No, I'm going back to the film. Did they really try to like Jack Hoffman?
Or is that just
the... Yeah, that's what I'm... Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, folks. We're going to wrap it up here in a moment. Don't forget, this Sunday, they are going to be open. It only happens a couple of times a year at your Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac dealers. Everyone should take advantage of their noon to 5 opening this Sunday and check out the Chrysler 200. You can save up to $4,200. The Buick Encores, they currently have a few on hand, but they're moving quickly. They're very hard to keep on the lot, so stop by and check it out. Might be the one for your parking lot in your garage today. 2014 Impalas are in stock, Silverados and new Ram trucks. You can save up to $9,100 on the new Rams. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You know what? Summer's over, and now it's time to get back on track. Complete Nutrition can help you do it all this fall. Now, when you're the busiest, you need experienced advice and the right products to help you reach your fall fitness goals, no matter what they are. Maybe it's weight loss. Complete Nutrition has customized weight loss solutions to help you drop the pounds. Maybe your goal is to increase your energy level. Come in to get a plan designed just for you by experts in nutrition and exercise. Or maybe you want to add mass and strength. The right products can make all the difference. Can you do it all this fall? You can with a little help from your partners at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
They call me Murphy, and I'm a service tech at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. It was 9:30 on a Saturday morning, and a Kona Blue Mustang drove in.
I'm due for a tire rotation.
I poured her coffee, black. She hopped on Wi-Fi, and I got to work. I inflated, rotated, and aligned the tires. Multi-point inspection looked good. Took a half hour, tops.
With a full range of services, great prices on 13 name brand tires, and no appointment necessary, Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out Pro Plus at Ferguson. She wore a red.
Folks, this Saturday, a benefit for the Sons of the American Legion at the Kearney VFW. Kearney American Legion, excuse me, for the Sons of the American Legion, 13th and Central from 5 to 8. Lamb fries and pulled pork dinner.
Yeah.
You love the fries, don't you?
I'm not much into fries, but the pulled pork.
Bake sale, bake auction, free will donation with the proceeds going to their helping the community. And again, that is this Saturday from 5 to 8 at the Kearney American Legion, sponsored by the Sons of the American Legion from 5 until 8. Always a busy time. Randy, one comment here. And again, as always, we seem to run out of time. Kirk Herbstreit was on with Mike and Mike this morning, and they were debating and kind of going back and forth about Ohio State playing Florida A&M or Bethune-Cookman playing whoever they play.
Yeah.
And, of course, nobody wants to see those games. And that was the argument from Kirk Herbstreit.
They've sold out for 50 years in Nebraska, but keep going. Yeah. You're doing fine.
Mike and Mike kind of disagree in there, saying, you know what, this might be the only chance. This is what these kids, I mean, the South Dakota State kids, this is their chance to play in Lincoln. This is Appalachian State's chance to play at Michigan. Whether you're going to be competitive or not is one thing. The problem I had...
You played in front of 90,000 people. That, I mean, come on. I mean, that's not bad.
The problem I had with all this is those programs can fund... Like Bethune-Cookman or maybe even South Dakota State. I don't know the percentage, but they're going to fund a huge amount of their university's athletic budget with going and getting your butt kicked, and maybe somebody is going to North Dakota State, be Glory Time or Appalachian State.
A lot of schools like that are looking for the opportunity. Southern Miss moved their game to Nebraska to get a bigger check than playing. I think originally it was going to be at their place.
Yeah.
And they think they kicked around the idea of playing a neutral site location.
Yep, New Orleans, Kansas City, finally. Lincoln.
But then they finally ended up in Nebraska because they're going to make more money. I mean, you have to do that. Have to fund it, and they're like going, "Yeah, the only reason you're playing is money." Yeah, and that is the only reason. It's keeping three other programs on campus alive.
And how
we'll
are you
have to shut them
schedule?
Down otherwise.
How are you going to fill your schedule? Okay, you take away the two crappy teams out of the four non-conference. How are you going to fill your schedule? You're going to convince sometimes that you're only going to have five or six home games a year. That's fine that you don't like it, but then you get you. Turk,
come up with another plan.
You got to give me something.
Give me another plan.
Give me something. You going to sit down and schedule all the NCAA games? Is that what you're going to do?
You know, if USC, UCLA were going to come in every year, one of those two teams are going to come in every year to Nebraska to play Lincoln, and I'd give up a South Dakota game for that. I'd give up a South Dakota State game for that. You know, as a fan. But can you do that financially? Can you do that financially? And like you said, look at this from the other perspective. What is UNK doing later this year? We talked about the just awful schedule that they played to start the season. Well, they're moving a division up to get one of those money games to fund the football program, to fund other university
athletic
programs.
Somebody the caliber of South Dakota State, Central Arkansas.
Yeah, they're moving up to play that. You know, and so they do the exact same thing. So schools, even on the other end of that, need to do it to fund their programs, and to say they only do it for the money, yeah, that's the only reason I work, too. I like to enjoy what I do, but come on. I mean, it's the only reason people work, right? For money. The only reason that people are criticizing that is for money.
Ken and Carney, have you watched the Manning story? It was on last night.
I did not see it. I'm going to DVR it tonight.
I've watched part of it, and I obviously I was working doing volleyball last night, so I haven't seen it. But Ken says this is supposedly a true story. A guy got to know Archie Manning pretty well, and his son was a big fan of Peyton. The guy asked Archie if his son could meet Peyton sometime. Archie says, sure. The next time the boys are in town, we'll do that. So they came to Archie's house, and Archie called the guy and said, hey, bring his young son over. So the guy pulls up at Archie's house and tells his son to go knock on the door, and he waits in the car. So the boy knocks, and Peyton Manning answers the door with a big smile on his face and lets the boy in. After about 15 minutes, the young lad comes out, and he's crying. His dad goes, what's wrong? He goes, well, I met Peyton. He signed a football. I met Eli. He signed the football. Then some old guy signed the football and ruined it.
Hall of Famer Archie Manning.
There you go. Hardly won any games.
He was a stud, though. Oh, my goodness. Sure. He was a stud.
He was good at getting sacked and beat up. And just the way it was. I'm not trying to make fun of him or anything like that. We want to thank our guests on the show today. Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, UNK soccer coach John Mazner. Tomorrow, Tri-City Storm head coach Josh Howgie is going to join us. The season opener is Saturday at home against Lincoln. We're going to talk with Nebraska head volleyball coach John Cook, and Luke Hoover of RotoWire will answer all of your fantasy football questions. So if you've got a fantasy question, send them in anytime before tomorrow's show. Email them, tweet them, Facebook us. We'll get them asked of Luke. Randy.
Good to see you, Shecky Green, Mr. Funny Guy. Such a funny guy.
Good luck to your Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, just because they lost last night.
No, they're in, though, right?
They're in. They're in.
The Royals aren't. They lost. And let's
not mathematically, but yeah.
Yeah. See if we can get a miracle. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.